As we see the things that are taking place around us, certainly our hearts yearn more and more for that day. I wasn't really sure where I was going with this today. I've had a lot of thoughts and a little bit of struggle getting them all into orders. I think we're going to start in Galatians this morning. As I ordered this and yesterday, I kept thinking, oh, no, it should go like this, it should go like that. But let's start in Galatians. My thought really is, I just wrote this down, not reason, but revelation. And I heard a man speak on a topic like that one time, and he was talking about the trials in particular, not trying to understand the reason for the trial, but letting God reveal himself. And that's not really my thought today, but rather understanding that God has given us a revelation so much today, and I think maybe this is what started this for me, but so many today are trying to reason things out. And if something in God's word doesn't suit their desire, what they want to do, they try to reason through it in some way. And I was just thinking about God, fortunately, God didn't leave this up to our reasoning. It would be a mess. Just look at what man has reasoned and over time. But God didn't leave it up to our reason. He gave us a revelation. And as Tom was giving his devotion, I just thought about how kind of it was intertwining in some of this because God wants to be with us and his presence with us every day, and that's not dependent on us, except for us to allow him to do it. I saw something the other day, one of my friends from South America shared, and it said, if you do something good, look to Jesus, because he's the source or the reason. If you've failed today, look to Jesus, because he's the cure. And I thought that was kind of a good statement. You know, sometimes when we're doing well, we think, I know what I'm doing here, and I've got this, and I can figure this out. And that's also, by the way, a time when our minds begin to reason through things again, right? But when things go badly, what then? When we don't live up to our own expectations, what then? Well, again, God has revealed himself to us. And we need to be accepting of that revelation and not trying to reason it out. I'll probably turn to Job at some point in this topic, but, you know, Job trusted God. He was a man who believed and trusted God. And when his trial came, you know, it says he fell to the ground and worshiped. But when his three friends came over, they began to reason. And Job's an interesting book because you have to understand what they're doing there. And so I think one of the things that popped for me last week was, as Arlene was teaching us in 2 Corinthians, Paul there, he said, let's see, abundance of revelations. And I thought about that. Paul was an educated man. He had been taught the law, the Old Testament scriptures, knew them well. And before he met Jesus, I think he had clearly reasoned out what he was doing. He was persecuting Jesus Christ. I think that was clearly reasoned in his mind. But when he met Jesus, he was given a revelation, which was different than his reasoning. And so in Galatians, the first chapter, I just want to read this. I think I'll start in verse 9. I want to get down to verse 12. But Galatians 1 and verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He speaks below that about his time in the Jews' religion, how he was an important man. He tells us that also in Philippians. But he says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Man's reasoning gets him in trouble. I've seen, I guess some of this maybe comes from some things I've read recently. A number of different ones that have written books. There was a lady that passed away recently at a very young age. She had written a number of books, apparently. She was a professed Christian lady. But her books were reasoning to try to adapt God's word to today's culture. I haven't read her books, so I'm not intending to critique the books in specific. But in the articles that were written about her, it was pretty clear what her books were about. And they were about trying to bring the Word of God down to the current cultural expectation. And you know all the things that are out there today, but man's reasoning always leads him away from God. You can go all the way back to Genesis, start there if you want to, where Satan began to cause Eve to reason, right? That's what happened there. And he's still doing it today. Think about this. Did God say, really? And you think, you know, you think, well, that was so far ago that can't happen again, right? Even today, Satan is coming to God's people. And he's saying, did God really say? Are you sure? I don't think that's what that means. Reason it through a little bit. But God has given us a revelation. It's not ours to reason. God wants to reveal himself to us, and I kind of thought what Tom started with kind of really leaned into this so well, but he wants to be found. He wants to reveal himself to us, but we have to accept what he reveals. It's not one of those kind of well, it's not like going to the buffet and you kind of pick what you want. God has laid out who he is. And he reveals himself to us every day. I was going to Matthew. I don't know if I said that or not. But I was going to Matthew, the 16th chapter. That's where I'm headed now. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Jesus says something here, and it's a good reminder to us. In the 13th verse of Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They were reasoning based on some things that they saw. All right? And in verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon of Peter, of course, he's ready to go. I like Simon. He's an interesting character. But he just right out, he jumps out and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, he needed a revelation, and it came from God. These others, by the way, that were reasoning these things about Jesus, they weren't necessarily just wrong in their reasoning. They just didn't have a revelation. They saw some things and they thought, oh, well, maybe this, maybe that. But Peter had been walking with Jesus and he had received a revelation. If we just approach our Lord from the world's view, we're going to make some reasoning. And we're going to fail in that reasoning. Because we need a revelation. We need a revelation. See, many today, they're approaching Jesus from the viewpoint of the culture in which they live. I want to see Jesus like this. I see a lot of this nowadays. People want to say, well, Jesus just taught us to love one another, so that's all we have to do is just love. And everybody gets to just do whatever they want. You just love everybody. See, that's a view of him from the culture of today. Did Jesus taught us to love one another? Yes, he did. But it's in a context. And you have to understand what he's revealing to us there. Because, well, we can't love one another. We can't have true love outside of Christ. If we approach him strictly from the context of what we see today and leave out God's word, our reasoning about him is going to be wrong. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Since we're in Matthew, let's just go to the 11th chapter real quick. I want to read something that Jesus says here. In verse 25, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'll just read 25. These are Jesus' words. At that time, Jesus answered and said, see, Jesus' word. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Things are hidden from the wise and the prudent. He's speaking about the wise of this world. They're hidden from man's reasoning, but they're revealed unto babes. And again, the intent that he's trying to point out there, those that will simply receive. You know how a baby is, right? It's kind of helpless and has to take whatever you provide to it. We need to be that way with our Lord, because we are helpless on our own. And to take what he has for us. He says, you've revealed this unto babes, unto the simple. I know Jack often would say, you know, that our little pea brains can't figure these things out. And he's right about that. We have lots of capability for reasoning things. Don't get me wrong. But if that's what we use to understand the things of God, then we're going to understanding correctly. We need a revelation. I didn't really know where all I was going with this, but I'm going to consider something in 1 Samuel. I'm not going to turn there. I think I've commented on this a few times, but Samuel, there in the early chapters of 1 Samuel, is brought to the temple. His mother gives him to the Lord, so he's brought there to minister. And it tells us that at that time, there was no open revelation, no open vision of God, the Word of God. And then there's this young man, Samuel, and God speaks to him. And, you know, it tells us that the first time God spoke, he says Samuel didn't know because, again, there had been no revelation of God. He didn't know. But the third time he answers, right, and says, here am I. And God speaks to him. And the part that I really enjoyed was kind of at the end of that third chapter. It says, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. In a lot of Christendom today, the word of God is missing. There's a dearth of the word of God. And that's a problem because it is by his word that God reveals himself to us. There's no other way. Paul had been given a revelation, and we emphasize this quite a bit, I think, the importance of Paul's writings for the church today. Because Paul was given a direct revelation. And because of that, he had a thorn in his flesh so that he would not glory in those revelations. Paul says in Ephesians, the third chapter, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. God revealed some things to Paul. How are we going to know what God wants to reveal to us if we don't take in his word? There's no other way. People can come and say, well, I've thought this through, and this is how God is, and so on. I've heard people say, but you know, a lot of times I've heard people say, well, if that's how God is, then I don't want to serve God because he doesn't fall into something they think he should be. We don't get to choose how God is. God is who he is. And again, that's a good thing, by the way. People that think it's bad that we just accept God for who he is. No, it's a good thing. If we turn God into what we think he should be, that would not be a God worth serving. If we turn God into our idea of who God should be, and people say, well, God should be like this. He should do this. If he doesn't do this, then he's not a just God. I've heard all of these things. The problem is we don't really understand true justice. We don't understand true mercy. We don't understand true, well, righteousness, any of those things that God is. It's hard for us to comprehend in our minds what those things really are. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I want to read this. I was kind of impressed by this as I came across this when I was studying in Deuteronomy, 29th chapter. And the 29th verse. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. This is another problem that we come across. There are some things that God hasn't given us detailed information about. And man struggles with this, right? Because man feels like he has to know all the details of everything. The secret things, those belong unto the Lord our God. You know, it's pretty clear to me that when we get on the other side, we're going to know all these things. All those things that God is not able to reveal to us now, we'll know them. And I've often thought about, you know, you go through God's word and you read it and it's like, well, he doesn't talk about this or he doesn't tell us about that. And I'm reminded of this verse. There are some things that belong to God. But the things that are revealed, they belong unto us and to our children forever. The Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change. You know, people say, well, that Bible that you read, you know, it's kind of old-fashioned. It was written for, you know, people back then. They didn't know any better. I hear that a lot too, by the way. Well, you know, they just didn't know any better. We've learned so much since then. So much more advanced. God doesn't change, but you know what else doesn't change? Human nature. No, we're not so much more advanced than they were. The Word of God applies today just like it did then. Are things different? There's lots of things that are different. Clearly, you know, we live in a different way than they did, and technology has done some things for us and some things against us. But God doesn't change. When he reveals himself to us, that doesn't change. And so we come to God's word. The things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. We don't need God to reveal himself differently today. That's not what we need. But rather we need to accept the revelation that he has given us. Daniel. I put Daniel up here, and I'm not going to read that particular verse, but I think. Oh, I am going to read that particular verse. I thought it was a different verse I was reading. Daniel, the second chapter. Well, it's up here, and I don't know if that's different than my King James version here, but I'm going to read it. You know, and there was a lot in Daniel, by the way. I read a bunch of verses. That's kind of why I wasn't sure which one. I read a lot of verses in Daniel because Daniel, God used Daniel. To Daniel, he revealed some things, some marvelous things. And the interesting thing about Daniel to me is he never takes credit for the things that are revealed to him. He's very clear right up front. That's not me. That's God's revelation. God showed me these things. But this is just one of the things that he says. I think I'm going to read from verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." God does these things. He's not subject to our whims and reasoning. God reveals. He does these things. He puts up and takes down. Man doesn't understand that. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And I like the thought about light spiller, because God spills his light to us. That's in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, of course. That he shows us. Oh my. Okay, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. I know this is familiar verse, and it seemed like it hasn't been that long that we had it, but actually it's been quite a while. We've been in the study on Corinthians for quite some time. Technology. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. He says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." This thought, he speaks here, he quotes from the Old Testament, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We cannot reason those things. "But God hath revealed them unto us." God wants us to understand, to know him. And he wants to reveal himself. I have so many more things to talk about. My time is now up. Maybe I'll come back to this. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to start that up. There's so much in this. And when I started this, I kind of felt like I didn't know where I was going with it. But this thought about not reason, but revelation. God reveals himself to us through his word. He reveals himself in ways we cannot always comprehend. And his revelation to us is for our benefit. But it must be received by faith. Because, see, anything that's not faith will bring in our reasoning again. I've told you many times, I love science. I enjoy the things that God has allowed man to learn. But I often see these ones that are really into the science, and they berate those that are Christians because they believe what is in God's word. I'm just simple enough to believe what God said. To me, science is not, as they use it, something to discredit God, but rather, to me, science is something that just proves that God really is who he said he is. It just shows me every time I see something, I just see more and more of God in the things that they learn. And again, God will reveal himself to those that want to seek him early. Any questions or comments this morning? Yes, impossible. That's right. It's a bad idea for us to start reasoning in ourselves. It's a good idea for us to just believe what God has said in his word. Receive it by faith. Amen. Let's stand and be